What up, everybody? It's your boy, Duke. Welcome to Talking Soccer, the one and only podcast that you need to listen to every single week before kicking off your DFS contests on this week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I am your host, Duke. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. I am the director of football soccer for the American folk like myself over at Elite Fantasy HQ. Of course, you can find my work on elitefantasy.com. That includes DFS and betting. And then if you just want to do the betting, I do handicap and post bets over on elitesportsbetting.com. It's not just me over there, guys. We got a ton of studs in every single sport you can imagine. From even Benny does some horse racing stuff. Of course, Moose is on the esports. We got Paulie Walnuts doing some golf, Lab doing MMA. We got the best and the brightest. And not only that, we got some new folks as well. B. Healy, I got to give a shout out to my boy B. Healy. I don't ever play MLB DFS. Today, early slate, I'm sitting here grinding over this weekend's content, this weekend's pricing, FPL, everything. And I'm going, I need a break. I need to do something just a little bit different. Let me take a look at this baseball. Dude puts out bangers. Hit every single double up. Cashed in one of two GPPs. And this is me literally not knowing anything about baseball as far as day-to-day goes, right? I know general terms. I know the players that are studs. I'm sitting in the playoffs in my MLB fantasy season-long, thanks to our guys over at Fantasy Guru as well. But I thought, why not throw something in DFS-wise today? Boom, made some money. Now my bankroll is a little bit bigger for this weekend's DFS soccer contest. So I'm doing a little bit longer introduction than usual because guess what, boys? We're out from behind the curtain. We got the green light to go public. This is out from behind the paywall. And for the loyal folks who've been with me from the beginning, nothing's going to change too much, right? We may do a little bit more introductory stuff here just in one podcast. But for those of you that are new, and even for those of you that have been with us for, 23 weeks in a row now, here's what we're going to do today and moving forward. Well, today we're going to talk about a number of different things. It's actually going to be a bit of a longer podcast, so you won't have to take a shot every time I'm saying keep it short. But we're going to look kind of at every little step, right? So an intro to DFS soccer. We're going to look at the scoring changes that DraftKings has introduced. We're obviously going to look at some transfer news. And again, this is being recorded Wednesday evening just after 7 o'clock. So there's going to be some changes between now and tomorrow afternoon, Thursday's close of that transfer window. And then we'll look at this weekend's slate. And we'll do some early leans for the betting side of things as well. We'll give away a couple freebies here on the podcast. That's towards the end. If you're sick of hearing my voice already, just hit skip, 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 skip. And to get to the end, 4 free bets at the end of the podcast. But don't do that. Stay around. Listen to what I have to say because there is a lot. Now, the season is starting Friday. We've crushed the summer. Women's World Cup, MLS, international contests, friendlies, you name it. We're betting on it. And we're just getting going. Obviously, we'll have Champions League coming up. We'll cover that. We'll have Europa League coming up. We'll cover that. EPL, every day, all day, every day. And we're going to do some FPL this year as well. Now, content schedule for the rest of the week. Thursday, we'll have the back of the net EPL article out. What is that? So that's our big preview for that weekend's games. We'll look at Vegas. We'll do some slate thoughts, something that's a little different than what you'll get from any other analyst where I'm talking about every single game from a tactical perspective. How do teams match up against each other? Where are they going to try to exploit each other? And who are those players, especially from a DFS perspective, who can get in those good areas and rack up those DFS points? Now, not only is that good from just a game flow perspective, but if you're the one that says, Duke, you suck. I'm fading all your picks. Well, this at least gives you a reason as to why I'm liking certain players from a DFS perspective or even from a betting perspective, why I think one team's going to win or not going to win or where the total's sitting at, over, under. Kind of a breakdown of where my head is. And now, for those of you who aren't aware, I do watch almost every single game, right? I got every pass known to man. I don't have Fubo TV, although I think I should get that. ESPN Plus, NBC Gold, DirecTV, cable, the whole nine. I'm watching every single game to the detriment of probably my relationship, but to the benefit of you guys, because I want to have not only from a statistical point of view, who we're going to target every single week, but from a game flow point of view, from a style of play point of view. What are we seeing or what are we missing that's not being shown in our spreadsheets as we analyze things from week to week? But like I said, a lot to get to today, so I'm not going to bog you down too much with that. Let's just start with basically an introduction to DFS soccer. If you're brand new, and again, I'm going to run through this. If you're not brand new, feel free to skip ahead 30 seconds or something. But if you're brand new, how do we do this? Well, let's start from kind of a macro point of view, right? We like to start in Vegas. Who is the biggest favorite? And while the EPL is a very competitive league, it is top heavy. Manchester City, Liverpool are going to win the majority of the games against teams throughout the table, but certainly when we look at the bottom half and those new teams, the Norwich City, Aston Villa, Sheffield United, they're going to trounce those teams. Who's the biggest favorite? That's step one. Step two, how big of a favorite are they? Step three, are they healthy? Are they missing players? Do they have a Champions League game coming up? Have they just played an FA Cup game? Have they just played a League Cup game? There's a lot that goes into that. And again, I'll guide you through these pieces of information. But are they healthy? Are they missing players? And does that affect the potential outcomes of the game? Step four, how many players do I need from this team or those teams that are the biggest favorites, right? Four simple steps to just narrow down the player field right from the get-go. Now, start looking into kind of micro options. Step one, where is the cheap value? Now, typically, before the scoring change, and maybe still after the scoring change, we look to fullbacks, right? Outside defenders, not the two guys in the center of the back line who will get forward, put crosses in the box, hopefully often. Typically, we look for inexpensive players in these positions or they're mispriced, something like that. And then step two, who takes set pieces, free kicks, corner kicks, and how many can we project their team to take? Would you rather have a set piece taker on the biggest underdog on the slate or a center midfielder who maybe attacks, doesn't take free kicks or corner kicks, but is on the biggest favorite of the slate? Well, assuming they're at similar price ranges, those are the decisions we'll have to make. If there is a variance in pricing, we have to figure out the numbers. Can we make up that gap in scoring potentially for the price savings on that player? Step three, who is most likely to score a goal or two or three? Generally, we're looking towards those teams who are favorites, right? That's typically what we're looking for. And now with the scoring changes, goals are still important, but maybe slightly less important. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. Step four, are there any correlated players who might assist on a goal? And if so, can you afford both? Now, what does that mean? Well, correlation is tougher in soccer than it is, for example, in the NBA, right? Pick and roll, point guard to a power forward, center, pretty easy to project as far as an assist goes, right? Not so much in soccer. Yes, we can look at free kick takers, set piece takers, corner kick takers. Back to step two. But that's not where all goals come from. Typically, what, 25, 30%, maybe even less of goals come from set pieces. So that's not where all these assists are coming from. And we say, can you afford both players? Because one way to capture both the goals and assists is to do a capture method. So let's say Manchester City. Let's take Saturday slate, right? Tottenham's playing Aston Villa, biggest favorites on the board. Can we afford both Lucas Moura and Harry Kane? Harry Kane a forward, Lucas Moura with no Heung-min Son, likely to get the start, play quite a few minutes. Those two are going to be around the goal more than anyone else on the field. Can they hook up and link up, and can we afford both? That's step four, correlation. Step five, plug in a goalie. Kind of, but not really. Goalies are a bit of a misnomer in this industry. A lot of guys like to say, who cares? Plug in whoever. Just make sure they're not playing your guys and you'll be good to go. It's not that simple. And this is quite frankly where I think we have one of our biggest edges in the game. And again, it goes back to that game flow piece of my article that we talk about every single Thursday. It's not foolproof. Nothing in life is. but I take goalkeepers just as seriously as every other position. And long term, that gives us an edge. So think about those things. That's kind of what do we have? 9 steps from a macro and a micro perspective on how to win at DFS. Now, we can certainly get into head-to-head contests, cash contests, GPP strategies. You can find all of that on elitefantasy.com. I do have an intro to DFS article posted on the website. Super simple. Log on, join now, sign up for the soccer package. Go to the More tab, click on Soccer Articles. It should be at the top, if not one of the first 4 or 5 articles that's on the website. Click on that. As always, if you have issues, can't find something, or having just customer service things, reach out to me on Twitter, at DukeDFS. My DMs are open. Happy to help. Now, scoring-wise, let's talk about the changes there. As far as positionally goes, 1 goalkeeper, 2 defenders, midfielders, forward, utility. You can find all of that information on DraftKings. On my article, we will rank players that I really like from all the positions. Value, best goal scoring odds. I put out cheat sheets for both DraftKings and now this year new FanDuel as well, because there is 2 different scoring systems. But for the purpose of our articles, we typically use DraftKings pricing and just use that as the base. Now, let's talk about those scoring changes, because there was some uproar within the soccer industry. Our small little close group of friends, right? DK changed their scoring system. And I mentioned on Twitter, we are going to talk about this. And I do like it. Now, are any of these changes earth-shattering? To be honest, no. The biggest change, as far as I'm concerned, is actually that the scoring is now the same for both classic and showdown modes. Now, again, for those of you that are new, what the heck are both of those? Classic, meaning we have multiple games. Typically, like this Saturday's, you know, we have 4 or 5 games. Sometimes kick off at different times. We're selecting from a larger group of players versus a showdown game mode where it's just 1 game. 1 game only. Lineups are out, positions are out the window. We're just selecting from a group of players from that 1 individual game. Each is assigned a salary, and we're fitting everyone within a salary cap. This year, we are adding a captain, but I don't want to dilute that because I'm talking mostly from a classic perspective. The biggest change is that the scoring is now the same for both. Should help with continuity, should help with new players coming into the player pool, to not get confused and hung up on what's worth what in classic versus showdown. To me, this is a positive step that DraftKings has made. And don't get me wrong, they're trying, guys. They are trying. They're by no means perfect. But they're trying to make it more attractive to the everyday player, especially those who aren't familiar with soccer. And that's a good thing for us. We cannot jump down their throats every time they make a change. Now, what else did they change? Well, for me, the second biggest change is the removal of the -5 points for the missed penalty kick. And look, you might be going, who cares? If you say that, you've never been totally screwed out of a GPP win, out of a cash, out of a head-to-head contest. Because it's not only the -5 points, right? It's the emotional swing of the thing. Wolf Zaha gets taken down in the box for Crystal Palace. I've rostered Milivojevic. He's on set pieces. He does have penalty duty just in case that happens. Boom. I wasn't expecting a goal out of him, but there's 12 points, right? You get 10 for the goal, 1 for the shot, 1 for the shot on goal, and then brutal. He misses. Maybe he misses the whole goddamn target. And now you go from 12 points to -5. That's quite the swing. Now, typically on misses, they do hit the target. Goalie makes a save. So you do get a shot and a shot on goal. So you're only losing 3 points, but mentally, you're losing not only those 3 points, but also the goal as well. That's a big swing. Don't like that. I don't think DK did as well. We need to stop giving people reasons to not play our game. Taking away negative points is a great way to do that. Taking away the -5 for the missed PKs. Beautiful. Bueno, bueno, bueno. Now, what else? Some more subtle changes. For instance, like crosses last year were worth 0.75 for each cross. Now they're worth 0.7. Why? I don't know. You probably don't know. Birnbach probably doesn't know. Maybe he does. But don't bother him with shit like that. Who cares? Change the number on your spreadsheet. We'll kick out a different projection and we'll move on. Also, let's talk about some positive changes. People have been crapping on getting points now for accurate passes. Look, we had them last year for Showdown. I like that they're now in the classic game. Number one, we should reduce the opportunity for a tie, especially in a Showdown where you're only choosing from one game's player pool and builds sometimes build themselves, right, from an obvious standpoint. Let's give any means necessary to not have a tie. How about just constant scoring as well? Just constantly watching your score go up, 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 up. Accurate passes, we'll talk about this briefly, and more so in my Thursday article, are going to have an impact on the floors of players, especially those on good teams. That's not the only change. How about chances created, or as DraftKings is calling it, assisted shots? You get a point for that. Now, this isn't the hockey assist. This is the pass that leads to a shot. What is an assisted shot? It's exactly what it sounds like. If your player makes an unaffected pass to the player that takes a shot, you get a point. That is a chance created. That is an assisted shot. And the shot doesn't even need to be on goal, right? If you pass it to, Gylfi Sigurdsson, and he blasts one in row Z, point for your player. Who cares where it goes? As a matter of fact, I can see a scenario where we're sitting there on a Saturday afternoon going, oh, God, don't shoot. Oh, thank God he missed the target. Because you're playing a head-to-head against Gylfi, right? And you got Andre Gomes because you needed a punt midfielder. Just give me that assisted shot. Don't hit the target. Don't give Gylfi an extra point. That's a chance created. Another positive that they've changed this year. I mean, if you want to hear more about who this really helps, listen or check out my article coming out tomorrow, Thursday. I'm going to go in depth to give you an idea as far as the accurate passes go. From last year, 7 of the top 12 players in accurate passes per game are from Manchester City. They were, in order, Aymeric Laporte, Zinchenko, Stones, Walker, Vincent Kompany, who's no longer there, Fernandinho, and Danilo, who's no longer there. The other 5, Jorginho, Virgil van Dijk, Granit Xhaka, Anthony Rudiger, David Luiz. Now, what do you see there? 9 defenders and 3 central defensive midfielders in the top 12. You don't see Kun Aguero. You don't see Harry Kane. You don't see Raheem Sterling. This is a benefit to the floor of players we typically aren't rostering on DraftKings. And it's not 7 points. It's not 8 points. It's 1 point. It's 1.5 points. It's 2 points. But again, when adding that up over the course of a season, going down to a Kyle Walker, even though he's usually prossed up, let's say going down, to a Fernandinho or to a Rodri in midfield may allow you to get Kun and Sterling. And that extra 2 points may justify the lower price for those CDMs. I think it's going to be super interesting how these accurate pass points affect scoring, especially when it comes to double up contests. It's not going to wildly change our player pool, but it's going to bump up folks that we don't necessarily expect it to. And one little preview, again, that I'll include in my Thursday article. One player that it really helped over the course of a season, Doucouré from Watford. Would you have guessed that? I didn't. I was putting in the formulas, hit enter. What the hell? Doucouré. It's those players who are always around the ball, constantly involved. They come from odd places. Typically, it's big favorites who are going to lead the league in passes, but you'd be surprised the players that it helps. So don't shit on accurate passes. Keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. All right, that gets us in line with the Showdown scoring, which is the most important aspect. Let's talk about some transfer news because this is bonkers. Again, Wednesday evening, we've had nothing but transfer rumors for 2.5 straight months. Quite frankly, I'm going to pull what little hair I have left on my head out if this thing doesn't end. And I know it's going to. There's a finite time, right? I'm being facetious. But as a Manchester United fan, good God, just get this goddamn transfer window over with. But for a lot of other teams, big day today, huge day today. Man City confirms João Cancelo. I sent out a tweet Wednesday evening. Why is this important? And we'll talk through a couple different, we're not going to bore you with every single transfer move, but just from the latest since we talked last Wednesday. Why is João Cancelo, I think, super important for Man City? Well, number one, if nothing else, he's quality depth at right back. Frankly, I think Kyle Walker is a player who relies heavily on his speed. He's not getting any younger. As we get older, speed tends to dissipate. He could, relatively soon, unseat Kyle Walker at the right back position. He's better going forward in the attacking areas, better putting balls in the box, better combining in the final third. That's option two. How about option three? What he could do is put John Stones' 6'5 butt on the bench, slide Kyle Walker into center back next to Aymeric Laporte, and have Cancelo right there as well. Now you have pace and ability throughout the back four. Assuming Benjamin Mendy gets healthy, Laporte's there, super solid. Kyle Walker with his pace. João Cancelo gets up and down. Walker can cover that ground. That gives Pep, especially against teams who are going to bunker, more options in the back line, as if they needed anything else. And for those who haven't seen Rodri play, who's their new CDM, the guy is mint. Absolutely mint. Fernandinho is a boss. Knows where everything is, super under control. Rodri is that, but 5 inches taller. So yeah, City's going to be awesome again. Shocker, right? Let's move on. How about Tottenham? A lot of irons in the fire. I think the Coutinho rumor is officially dead, but we still have Dybala hanging out there. There's reports Juventus has accepted a $70 million deal for Dybala. That'd be nice. But can they hang on to Eriksen? How about Lo Celso? Will he get over the line? How about Sessegnon, the fullback slash winger from Fulham? For me, Tottenham's bid project this summer was to hang on to Son, which they've done. Hang on to Kane, which they've done. Hang on to Eriksen, if they've done that. Hang on to Alderweireld, which they did, surprisingly. And improve their midfield. You can't win a Champions League with Moussa Sissoko and Harry Winks protecting your back four. And Ndombele was a hell of a signing. I think he's going to be good, if not great. The addition of Lo Celso, I think, is the missing link for Tottenham. More so than Coutinho, more so than Dybala. To me, Dybala makes no sense unless you lose Eriksen. Lo Celso fits in perfectly with Ndombele, with Eriksen, with Sissoko, fine, with Winks, whatever. If they can get the Lo Celso deal over the line, hell of a summer for Tottenham. Now, how about United? We mentioned them briefly. Looks like Lukaku finally off to Inter. That little shit has been training with a team in Belgium, Anderlecht. Finally could get that deal over the line. Latest rumors, because United have been linked to every single team across the globe and every single player, is Iñaki Williams from Atletico Bilbao, I believe. Really like that player. But where are the midfielders? Right? We got Maguire over the line. Big signing. £80 million defender. Most expensive defender in the history of this game on this planet. Shores up the back line. Now Shaw, Maguire, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka. That's up there with the best back lines, including De Gea, in the league. But where's the midfield? You lost Ander Herrera. You lost Mairon Fellaini, which is addition by subtraction. But who's slotting in there? Big questions asked up in Manchester for that team in red. How about Arsenal? Another red team being linked to everyone, right? Coutinho, Dybala, just you name it, an attacking player. They got Pepe over the line. They're in for him. They need help defensively, and they might be getting it on deadline day. Supposedly, Celtic left back Kieran Tierney is going to be an Arsenal player. Let me tell you why that's a huge upgrade. They need help across the back line especially. But at left back, Nacho Monreal is what, pushing 40? Salid Kolasinac, I want him on my team in a street fight, but the guy can't defend if his life depended on it. They need help. They need someone who can do both. Monreal was that guy for a few years, too long in the tooth. Kearney would be a perfect signing. Good for the Premier League. A British player coming from Scotland. Rough and tumble league that is. I think he can make a smooth transition in. And then my boy, who I wanted United to go after before they got Maguire, and I'm going to butcher this name, Upamecano from Red Bull. Like 6'1", super athletic, technical on the ball. I think he's like 20, 21 years old, right in Arsenal's lane, right, for their typical signings. If they can get those two over the line, along with bringing in Pepe and Danny Ceballos, hell of an offseason for Arsenal. Now, let's fly through a couple more. Everton, super under the radar, but from Monaco, Sidibe joins Everton on loan, gives depth at right back. Seamus Coleman. Again, not getting any younger. But if they can get Wilf Zaha over the line, they finally got Keane done. If they can go Rikarlison, Sigurdsson, Zaha, Keane as a front four, the other six can just sit and defend in front of Pickford, and they'll make top six. Love what Everton's done this offseason. A lot of work to do. Zaha's going to cost a lot of money. But potentially, if they get him over the line, Everton really making a push for top six. Speaking of Palace, from Wilf Zaha, they brought in James McCarthy today and also Victor Camarasa, who you'll remember from last year, Cardiff City. They'll join the midfield for Crystal Palace. Also brought in Gary Cahill, who I think is 50, but he joins on a free, relatively low risk, gives some experience in the back. I think between him and James Tompkins, speed rating on those two combined, 75. So I'm not really sure how that fits. Really worried about Crystal Palace this year, quite frankly, if Zaha loses. And foreshadowing, might be a bet that we attack in week one. Then, of course, what's going to happen to Bruno Fernandes? Been linked with United, been linked with Spurs. Who knows, right? Throw your hands up. Who knows? I'll have more on this and how it affects all the teams coming up for this weekend slate in the Thursday article. This will come out late Thursday, guys, because a lot of this news will be breaking early afternoon. We'll add it in the article, have you ready to go for Saturday's slate. And that's what we'll talk about next. And just a heads up, we're not going to go super in-depth today on Saturday's slate. Typically, we would go basically position by position, talk about players we're targeting, initial reactions as the pricing comes out. But because there will be new players entered into the player pool as these transfers occur, new pricing, it could take a player who's great value at, you know, 3,600, and all of a sudden, they're not even going to start. New player comes in, or who knows? Maybe a new player being signed puts their psyche in a weird spot. Are they worried about losing their spot? Are they motivated because they might lose their spot? I don't want to go super in-depth here on this podcast because, number one, it's going to be long regardless, right? It's not going to be short. Take a shot. But we could be analyzing something that has no bearing if a new player comes in and for whatever reason is thrown right in the mix. And where would that potentially happen? Well, typically on the lower half of things, right? Players who are lacking that top-end talent, teams that are lacking that top-end talent, they can bring in new players and put them in right away. Even though they'll be lacking that experience in their new system, the talent will make up for it. Now, who jumps off the page for this weekend's slate? We do have a five-game slate. Bournemouth, Burnley, Crystal Palace, Watford, Tottenham, all at home. Here's a couple names that I like. Number one, Harry Kane. Shocker, right? He's the most expensive. This isn't rocket science. However, he's minus 163 to score any time. He's going to be hard to fade because there's no Sun. Now, you could pivot to Lucas Moura, but I thought his goal-scoring odds would be a little bit higher, quite frankly. They're only plus 140 to score. Now, Kane is a notoriously slow starter, but they're the afternoon hammer. He's going to get a start. He's going to play 90 minutes, and it's against Aston Villa, new boys, who I think are going to be bad to okay. I can't see them being good. They're not a Wolves. They've spent a boatload of money in the transfer market, but I think it's more of a Fulham situation than a Wolves situation. The big difference being Wolves bought those players to advance from the Championship and move forward to the Premier League. Fulham did the opposite. They got promoted to the Premier League, bought a bunch of players to try to stay in the Premier League, chemistry issues, just bought the wrong players. Some players didn't work out. I got a feeling Aston Villa is going to be more like that than they were like a Wolves. Number one, Axel Tuanzebe, not there. Back at Manchester United. Tammy Abraham, not there. Back at Chelsea. And maybe someone we're targeting for FPL. Ooh. Again, article out Friday with my latest and last FPL rankings before the season kicks off. Now, again, not going too in-depth, but who else do we like? Let's just stay in this game. Let's go to the back line. And when we think about those accurate passes, one of the players that surprised me, Toby Alderweireld. And at 3.8K on DraftKings, if he picks up 2 points in accurate passes, which he very well could, picks up a 3-point clean sheet bonus, that's 5 points at 3.8K. We're talking value without any tackles, interceptions. He's good on set pieces. Why would we not roster Toby Alderweireld? Again, a player maybe last year, he's so cheap. Maybe we consider him. But now he moves towards the top of my point per dollar type of plays. We're not always going to take center backs, but he's one that stood out. Now, when we look towards value on this slate, I think I'm higher on Trossard from Brighton than any other analyst in the game. Now, I've watched him play a couple times. Maybe that's why he's a new boy, but he's been filling in for the loaned out Anthony Knockhart, which again makes no sense whatsoever why they did that, but they did. Here we are. Trossard has finished the preseason with back-to-back games with assists. I think he had 2 assists in one of those games. He's not scoring many goals yet, but that's okay. I don't need him to at this point. Now, the worry is it's Watford. Watford's at home. Brighton's on the road. Do we really want to grab a bunch of Brighton at this point? No, but I'll take one piece, and that one piece could be Trossard. And he's not a lock at this point, but again, someone who stood out for a value price that we could possibly target. Another one, Wesley. Getting a lot of hype for Aston Villa, new boy. He's a chance to punt, but why do we go there when there's other options that I like better in that price range? More on that in the article out Thursday. Now, how about Ndombele against newly promoted Aston Villa like we talked about? We go back to that stacking issue. How many pieces of Tottenham do we want? We know we like Kane. We know we like Mora. We know we like Toby Alderweireld. Can we take the chance on Ndombele? Perhaps you fade a popular Kane and a popular Mora and grab a goal or an assist from the midfield by way of Ndombele. The transition from League One to EPL has not been kind to players, so I might take a wait-and-see approach with him. Now, one player we know has made that transition and done it well is Lucas Digne. Everton, even on the road, at 6.6K, Lucas Digne's going to be tough to fade. He's probably the safest play on the board. So that's going to do it just for a very quick look. I mean, we can go through this and, you know, Daryl Yanmat. Why wouldn't he be a good play against Brighton? Seamus Coleman. We can go to the other side against Lucas Digne, save ourselves 2.1K. Brian Bertrand at 4.2 against Burnley. There's a lot to talk about. And we'll do that in our article out Thursday on elitefantasy.com. Like I said, typically we go further into the why. We talk about more players on this podcast, but since we're running a little bit long today, we'll keep it nice and short and just head right into the bets, right? That information will come with the package, the DFS package on Elite Fantasy, but if you're sick of DFS and just want to do the bets, head on over to elitesportsbetting.com, sign up for the soccer package to get my picks exclusively. Or you can do the VIP package and get everyone's picks, like we talked about at the beginning of the article. So who do we like for Saturday? Well, let's go to Friday first. If you've been listening for a while, you know that you've already been on Liverpool -1.5 for about a month and a half. Early lines came out back in, I want to say late June, early July. Liverpool -1.5 was sitting at -130. I said, this line is not going to get any better than this. Jump on it then. What is it today? Well, Liverpool's -2. We're paying -140 juice. That is a little steep, quite frankly. But how are you not going to bet on the first game of the season? This is Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Just getting off work, grabbing that first beer of the weekend. You got to bet on it, right? I think you just pay the juice. You suck it up. 1.4 units, Liverpool -2. Norwich advanced from the championship, finishing first in the league, scored a bunch of goals. This is not the championship, my friends. Liverpool at home, ready to crush. I think worst case scenario, we get our money back. Throw 1.4 units on Liverpool minus 2. If you want to, you can look towards the total. It's sitting at 3.5. I do not. I'll take a 3-0 Liverpool win and not screw with that total either way. I don't think Norwich is going to score, but I do think Liverpool can put a couple on them. So that's where we'll start. How about Saturday? I do like Bournemouth to pull off the win at home for even money against Sheffield United. New boys coming up. Bournemouth, of course, devastated with David Brooks going out with an injury. Just brought in Harry Wilson on loan from Liverpool. I think he'll slot right into that lineup. But of course, they have Junior Stanislas, Josh King, Callum Wilson, Ryan Fraser. I doubt Harry Wilson even features. Bit of a weird line, quite honestly. I'm sitting here scratching my head going, that seems a little too obvious. Don't know that I love it. But take the three-way line, Bournemouth, even money to win. How about over 2.5 goals between Burnley and Southampton? And before you start laughing, because yes, the under is minus 140, give me the over. It's early. Sloppy goals happen. Miscommunications happen. Organization isn't quite there yet. These teams have been training together for 3 weeks, a month. This is one where you just place the bet, plug your nose, close your eyes, and hope you head to the ticket window after the fact. I like that over 2.5 there. Just puke in your mouth, put the bet in, and move on. Last but not least, Everton. Like we mentioned, slight road favorites. Crystal Palace at home hosting Everton. Everton plus 135. Throw some cash on that. I don't think this line's going to get anywhere close to, I don't know, plus 150 or anything. We're going to get some closing line value on this, especially if Wilf Zaha does make that move to Everton. That'd be an odd situation. Obviously, Crystal Palace has the rights to Zaha now. They'd be selling him to Everton. I don't know if he just goes in the locker room and changes sides or what, how that works, but give me Everton plus 135 to win on the road. If you're a little bit more risk averse, then just take that draw no bet, Everton minus 130. What does that mean? If the game ends in a tie, you get your money back. If Everton wins, you win. Everton loses, obviously, you lose the bet. I think you're going to win outright. Give me that plus 135. All right. More obviously coming this weekend. Friday, we'll have FPL, Fantasy Premier League, article out with our final rankings updated after the transfer news. Thursday evening, we'll have our Back of the Net EPL preview out. Friday, I'll also have cheat sheets out for both cash and GPP for DraftKings and FanDuel. Saturday, our first Sunday Funday article of the year that'll be previewing Sunday's games from a DraftKings and FanDuel perspective. And of course, I'll see you guys in the chat room 1 hour before game time, just after team news is released, to talk through any updates that might be happening based on what my article was and where we were at that moment. That's going to do it this week for Talking Soccer. Plenty for you must chew on. I'm your boy Duke. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS, on Instagram at DukeDFSSoccer, and at Twitch at DukeDFS. We will be doing some video content on there soon enough. Not quite this week. Hopefully up in time for next week. As always, bets on EliteSportsBetting.com and DFS on EliteFantasy.com. This is Goal, people. Sign up if you haven't already, or risk watching us celebrate from our jacuzzis on Sunday. That is our tradition. We're starting this year. If you follow me on Twitter, unfortunately, you saw it already this summer. Sunday jacuzzis coming. Not if, but when we win. Go eat. Adios.